When we started the year, we had a call, I think, Tushier, right? And Gittin. And we didn't really finish the first topic, but I figured since it's such a big break that we should just start from the beginning already. Just to remind everybody, we had started on Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph, the machlokas between Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva with respect to grounds for divorce. And I began there by noting that the Masechta apparently begins in a strange place. The first Mishnah says, "Hamei get from Dina Sayam, Tzara Shiyomer b'Fani Nechta b'Fani Nechta," which we're going to analyze in just a minute. Maybe if a shliach is appointed to serve a get to the isha, that if this doesn't take place in Eretz Yisrael, so the shliach is obligated to proclaim b'Fani Nechta b'Fani Nechta. We'll discuss this in a minute. So as we noted, that seems to be starting in the middle rather than at the beginning. Obviously, one would first want to know what a get is and what the proper grounds and circumstances of divorce are. So that's why we began with that Tzadi Yom Aleph and tried to explain very briefly that both the Parsha of the Torah and Parshas Ki Teitze and that last sugya, the last Mishnah, and the last sugya in the Masechta really zero in on the relationship between Kiddushin and Gerushin. And what we tried to explain was that the various views, Beis Shammai's view that you're only supposed to divorce in situations of Erbas Davar, where there's an actual betrayal, Beis Hillel's view of Filu Hikdicha Tavshilo, even if the wife burnt the stew or the pot, and Rabbi Akiva, what? The coffee wouldn't be a problem.
That would be grounds for divorce.
Grounds, yeah. But Rabbi Akiva says, Filu Matza Isha Na Himena. So we tried to explain, thank you. What we tried to explain was that this argument between Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai and Rabbi Akiva can be understood in one of two ways. One way is to look at it and to basically conclude that there's a fundamental argument about the nature of marriage and divorce. How easy is it to walk away from a committed marriage? One would have thought very, very difficult to accomplish. After all, marriage is a transformation. It's a heter isha labala, it's a chalos of ishus. Something new has been created in the institution of marriage, and it's not so easy to walk away from that. Indeed, before Yom Kippur, I tried to explain that that the relationship, both in Shabbos and Yom Kippur, that Klal Yisrael has to the Ribono Shel'olam is a marital kind of relationship. There's a lot of evidence of that in Tanakh and in Chazal, Beiras Dichli Le'olam, but that it's a marital relationship in which there is no divorce. It's an irrevocable relationship, which is why, as Rashi explains in the end of Devarim, there's a requirement not only of a bris, but an ola. Because if two parties are stuck together for all of eternity, then the only way to manage the relationship to encourage good behavior is also to build in certain consequences. If the consequences of divorce don't exist, then you have to substitute for other things. And that's the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel'olam. It's an ava she'ena tluya b'davar, and it's one in which there is no gerushin. But the human relationship, one would have thought, would also make it very difficult to abide gerushin. After all, I say it's a very transformative kind of relationship. It's a very transcendent relationship. And indeed, that seems to be the position of Beis Shammai, who say that absent Erbas Davar, there really can be no divorce. On the other hand, the other way to look at it is to say, but maybe this is just incorrect, and that's why Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva make walking away from a divorce much easier. I feel like Dicha Tachila, I feel like Matza Isha, Na Himenu, etc. That's one way to look at it. The second way to look at it is that we should reassess the importance of Hikdicha Tavshilo and Matza Isha Na Himenu in the relationship, and that in two senses. Number one, especially Hikdicha Tavshilo, the Meiri suggests may refer not to something trivial, burnt the student as a culinary deficiency, but rather it's a reflection of rejection, neglect, maybe even a certain measure of disdain. Miri says that Ikdiha Tavshilo is intentional, and it's part of a pattern of disrespect. So that's another possible explanation, and that might also explain Rabbi Akiva, that Matzah Isha Na'a Himena reflects that there is a serious flaw in the marriage itself. So that technically, the positions of Beit Hillel and Rabbi Akiva are actually closer to Beit Shammai than one might have thought. Thirdly, and this is what I think is really the truth, or I think has the greatest amount of support, and that is, even if Ikdicha Tavshilo and Isha Matzah Isha Na'a Himena are seemingly frivolous or trivial reasons, the fact that one is interested in being Megaresh under these conditions, that in itself reflects a tremendous flaw, and maybe a fatal flaw, in the marriage. Namely, the fact that someone can walk away from a Dovr Shebikdusha based on such small, unimportant, objectively unimportant considerations is a reflection of the fact that he abused his marriage in terms of exploitation, and from a very pragmatic point of view, which is inconsistent with the idealism that is at the root of the Kedusha. And therefore, the positions of Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel, in one respect, are more ambitious in terms of the high standards of the marriage than the position of Beis Shammai is. Because Beis Shammai is basically saying that the betrayal of the marriage requires an objective, measured act. And Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva have such an idealistic view of this lofty relationship that for them, even improper respect and sense of exploitation also constitutes a kind of Dovr Shebe'erva. So that's really what we were discussing, and then we went on to discuss as well how Machzir Grushaso fits into that picture. After all, the Torah in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, when it speaks about Gerushin, almost makes it sound, that's what we mentioned in the first year, it makes it sound almost like the divorce and then the subsequent marriage and then the subsequent second divorce is all a lead-in or lead-up to the Machzir Grushaso. And that's very strange, because Machzir Grushaso, meaning remarrying if there had been a relationship in the intervening period. A, that's rare. You wouldn't think that it would get so much attention in Torah. And B, even if it wasn't rare, far more important than the Issur of Machzir Grushaso are the institutions of marriage and divorce. But again, I was suggesting that this kind of musical chairs marriage, and you marry somebody, you divorce them, they get married to someone else, you get married to them again, is fundamentally inconsistent with the character and quality of a proper halakhic marriage. And as such, Machzir Grushaso is kind of the crescendo of the Parsha, because again, it accentuates the high standards that we have for marriage. So that's really basically what we discussed. Again, I want to start the base today, but I just want to spend another, at least a few minutes, just finishing up 2 points on Daf Tzadi, because I think that they will highlight some of the things that we've said. I never got a chance to read the Gemara, so I just want to read at least part of it on Daf Tzadi first. So the Gemara says as follows. Again, if you look at the Mishnah said, Beis Shammai Amar Lo Yigarish Adam Asishto Elam Kein Matzah Ba'Dvar Erva Shenemar Kein Matzah Ba'Erva Davar Beis Hillel Omrim Apilu Ticha Tavshilo Even She Burnt the Food Shenemar Kein Matzah Ba'Erva Davar Rabbi Kiva Apilu Matzah Isha Acheres Na'imena Shenemar V'Hayim Mosin Tzanachein Deinab. So if you look at the Mishnah, it seems that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai share a source, and Rabbi Kiva has a different source. For Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, it's Erva's Davar. And for Rabbi Akiva, it's v'hayim lo timtzachein be'inav, which might lead one to believe that Beis Hillel, like Beis Shammai, think that this is a fundamental flaw in marriage, whereas Rabbi Akiva thinks it's simply, he's lost interest in lo Timatze Chain Be'inav. However, if you look at the Gemara, the matter is not as clear. Tanya, Gemara says, Amar Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, Halo Kvar Namar Davar. What are you going to do with the fact that it says Davar, and Davar isn't necessarily Dvar Erva? So the Gemara says, Amar Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai said, I understand your question, but I've got one for you. Halo Kvar Namar Ervas. According to you, that all you need is a Gvicha Tatshilo, then why does it say Erebus? Now, at this point in the Gemara, it seems clear that Beis Shammai is operating exclusively with the idea of Erva, and that Beis Hillel doesn't think that Erva has any significance whatsoever. It's simply any davar, any desire to leave the marriage. The question is, whether this is maintained Lamaskan. So the Gemara says, Amar le Beis Hillel, in Nema Erva v'le Nema davar, isi amar mishum Erva teitzei, mishum davar lo teitzei. I might think that only erva is an possible rationalization for walking away from a marriage, but davar less than erva is not. The kach nemar davar. Therefore, we have the word or the expression davar to expand the list, as it were, of legitimate basis for divorce. Bilo nemar davar, bilo nemar erva, ervas hayisamer mishum. Then I might have thought that if she is divorced, not because of some whim of his, but because objectively she has betrayed him, so then she cannot remarry. If it's Mishum Davar, there can be a second marriage. Mishum Erba, there can't be a second marriage. The Kach Nemar Erbas, to teach you, all things being equal, that she is able to remarry. Ubeis Shammai, what do they interpret? Hai davar my avdilei. So the Gemara says, Nemar kam davar v'nemar lahalon davar. Pasuk says davar in this pasuk, ervas davar. But then later in the parsha, it also says davar again. Al pi shnei edim, al pi shlosha edim, yakum davar. There it's referring to the amount of witnesses necessary for davar shaberva, for to prove matters of a rights. So the rule is Mala Halan Bishneidim, Afkan Bishneidim. Beis Shammai saying, you cannot divorce her unless she's involved in Ervas Davar. Not only that, but it has to be something which is able to be proven in a court of law. Ubeis Hillel, Miksit Erva Bidavar, Ubeis Shammai, Miksit O Erva O Davar. It doesn't say O, either Erva or Davar. It says Ervas Davar. So when you walk away from this Shakuratari the Gemara, it's quite different than the impression that you get in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, you get the impression that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai have the same makar, and it's only a question of interpretation. And that would make it easy for us to have explained that Iknicha Tavshilo for Beis Hillel is also an Ervas Davar. In the Gemara, it's possible to say that Beis Hillel really believes there are two different reasons, Erva and Davar. However, you can't get away from the Mishnah completely and from the Gemara completely, which is what I think Rashi in his Perash Al Torah is referring to. I didn't bring it here, but if you still have the old Bekaros from that first year, so I quoted on the first page the Rashi. Rashi there says that in the case of Ervas Davar, Mitzvah Lagarish, again, I'm just going to take a few more minutes. Kimatzah Ervas Davar, Rashi says, Mitzvah Olav Lagarsha, Shalot Timtzachein Be'enav. Now, the Mitzvah Lagarsha, you'll see in a moment, comes from the Shaka Vatar you hear on Sadi Amud Beis. Gemara says Mitzvah Lagarsha in a particular case. But what's striking is, it's not clear that Gemara is a Leib of Beis Hillel. So both the Mizrahi and the Maral, in their parish on Rashi Al Torah, ask, what's going on with Rashi? Doesn't Rashi pass like Beis Hillel? In which case it's O Erva O Davar, and where's the Mitzvah Lagarsha? So they both answer this question by saying, well, Rashi thinks that there are two separate tracks in Gerushin. One is the track of Davar, and the other is the track of Erva. And the Erva is a Mitzvah Lagarsha, the Davar is a Rashus. He's allowed to divorce her, but of course there's no key. That's their interpretation. However, if that's the case, it's hard to read the continuation of Rashi, because Rashi says, Mitzvah of the Garsha, Shaloti Matzei Chein Be'enav. Now, Shaloti Matzei Chein Be'enav, does not refer, presumably, to really Erva's Davar. So what is Rashi integrating Shalot Timotze Chein Beinav with the mitzvah Ligarsha? But if we interpret the Mishnah, even notwithstanding the Gemara, that what Beis Hillel are really saying is, there's an obvious Erva's Davar through Dvar Erva. And there's a more subtle, but also important Erva's Davar, when a person is willing to throw away a marriage for as trivial a matter as Hikdicha Tavshila. It shows, again, he's interested not in a wife, but in a slave, or a cook. And as such, that too constitutes, that Davar is Erva's Davar. I mean, Pshito Shel Mikra is important, even according to that extended interpretation for Beis Hillel. So then, what we'd be saying is, if things have really deteriorated, ad kedei kach, and it isn't just a matter of, you know, frivolous whim, but this does reflect the unhappy, not just imperfect, but obviously cynical state of this marriage, so then, mitzvah olav legarsha, shilo timatze chein beinav. Even if there isn't an actual dvar erva, it's considered erva's davar if the relationship, what we call, based on the Gemara Nadarim, a kind of grushas halev. And as such, we can then explain that Rashi in the Mishnah and Rashi in the Gemara, Rashi in Perish Al HaTorah, I'm sorry, Beis Hillel in the Gemara and the Mishnah, as understood by Rashi Al HaTorah, is really analogous to Beis Shammai's dvar erva on a conceptual level. That's one part.
How do you translate Shalot Timatze?
Shalot Timatze, we'll get to that in a second. So the Shalot Timatze is part of the next part of consideration of the Gemara. The Gemara says here...
In Rashi.
I'm sorry?
In Rashi.
Yeah, we'll get to this in a second. Well, that's the question. O or Daha? That's the next Gemara. Is this according to Rashi, I'm explaining it as, Rashi's trying to actually preclude the interpretations of Mizrahi and the Maral, if I'm right. Meaning, don't think this is only the case of actual Erva's Davar. It's also the Erva's Davar of Shloti Matzei Chein Beina. When the Chein is completely out of the marriage, then to continue with that marriage in a state of hostility or lack of Chein. Yeah.
I'm trying to simplify and ask the word Timatzei fits in that interpretation.
Okay, I think that's all there is to say.
But I wonder whether this is future, and that as a result of his continued relationship with her, he will ultimately find Chein having gone through a passage of time where he really...
Well, then again, the pasuk says, "Ki yikach ish isha uvala v'haya im lo timatzei chein be'enav." What?
It's
meaning
she hasn't found, as opposed to timatzei.
It could be. It doesn't really. It doesn't affect the whether it's the present or will not be in the future. It doesn't affect the the argument, as far as I know. Okay. Now the Gemara itself addresses the relationship between them in the next line. The Gemara says, "Rabbi Kiva Amar Afilu Matza Acheres Na'emana." So the Gemara says, "B'mai Kamitli." What's the argument? B'Dereish Lakish. Now Reish Lakish, ki, the word ki in this case, Mishamesh B'Dal Lashonas. The word ki has four different meanings. O, or Dilma, perhaps Ella. Rather, and daha, that. So, Beishamai Sabri, this is particularly interesting. Beishamai Sabri, Tahaya Imlo Titzachain Beinav, Ki Matzaba Erbaz Davar, means daha Matzaba Erbaz Davar. In other words, this is a continuation and an explanation. Rabbi Kiva Sabar, Ki Matzaba Erbaz Davar, right? Means, Inami. Matzava Erva's Davar. Either or. Not that. It's not an explanation, one or the other. But these are two alternatives. Now, what's missing here? Beis Hillel. Right? The Gemara speaks about how Beis Shammai read the Gemara and how Rabbi Kiva read the Gemara. The two extremes. Where's Beis Hillel? So Rashi says Beis Hillel is with Beis Shammai. Tosfos says Beis Hillel is with Beis Shammai. If you look at Rashi Al Atar, Rashi says Beis Hillel Nami. The Ramaskol the Hamatzaba. Mipnei Shematzaba Halav Achilagash. Beis Hillel Nami Ochimash Meluhu. Right? But, and Tosfos seems to have two days on this point. I'm not going to read it now because it's late Beis Shammai, so I'll read the bottom Tosfos. Not so clear, though. Maybe it depends who is Beis Hillel really allied with. Are they expanding on Beis Shammai, like it sounds like in the Mishnah? Or are they just a form of, or maybe the basis for, Rabbi Akiva? In the same vein, the Yerushalmi has the following interesting discussion. Again, if you have the Koros here, just very, very quickly. 2 points on the Yerushalmi that I want to speak about. If you look at the Yerushalmi, it's on page 3. Again. You see on page 3 the Yerushalmi, everybody have that? I'm sorry, I took your copy. To my negligence. But 3 lines from the bottom, 3 1/4 lines from the bottom. It says like this. Zekeinim HaRishonim, everybody have that? Zekeinim HaRishonim HaYu Omrim Tehei B'nidasa Lo Takchol V'lo Tifkos Achetovo B'mayim. What does that mean? When an isha is in a state of nida, she's supposed to be separated from her husband. So the question is, should she be adorning herself, etc., or not? So the Zakenim, Arishonim, said, when she's in a state of nida, right, she should not be, projecting herself in a way that makes her attractive. Hachatavu b'mayim, until the time of Tvilas. Tefillah b'mikvah. Omer lahen Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva turned to them and he said, Misham, I think it says Raya, Im at Omer chen afi atzma mevia lidei kirus v'hunosein eseinavba legarsha. Rabbi Akiva said, listen, that's not a good piece of advice. Right? Because then he'll, lose interest, and this will stimulate divorce. So then Yerushalmi says, V'asas kenim kibbeis Shammai, v'd Rabbi Akiva kibbeis Hillel. These are the final words of the Yerushalmi on the Masech. What's going on here? So the simple pshat is, what Yerushalmi is saying is, this is Rabbi Akiva, l'shitasa, what did Rabbi Akiva say? You can walk away from a marriage very easily. Why? So obviously the relationship is so tenuous, so then the question of appearance and everything else, interest, is an important thing all throughout. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, say only a matzah b'arvas davar. Right, so we should be more concerned about the harchakos of nida than we should about the long term relationship. Except that, what's fascinating is, Yerushalmi doesn't say, Rabbi Akiva is l'shitaso, and the Zakenim are like Beis Shammai. He says, the Zakenim are like Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Akiva is like Beis Hillel. But what does Beis Hillel have to do with anything? Beis Hillel didn't say, Batsa Yishamnai Nana. Beis Hillel said, Afilu Hikdicha Tavshilo. Right? I mentioned before that Meiri says, Hikdicha Tavshilo isn't a whim. Ikdicha tafshilo is, she is disrespectful to him, she is disdainful towards him. So what does that do with Beis Hillel? So actually, if you look at the Rajba, in the Kiddushim here, Rajba says, on the next page, page 4, on the bottom, quotes the Yerushalmi, page 4, the second to last piece, but the second paragraph says Yerushalmi, and it quotes us Yerushalmi. I'm going to skip that for a moment. And to go two lines before the end. The Teimavu. Everybody have that? Loma hutzach lomar d'Rabbi Akiva k'beis Hillel. Elekid v'yatzmo hayol lomar. V'isa Rabbi Akiva d'mishum noi rashoi l'garsha. Odev beis Hillel ad shimotza b'ervas dava. K'don shikticha tavshilo. Al mishum kiru v'noi lo. It's arching. What does this do with Beis Hillel? And not only that, what does Beis Hillel think? Atshi Matzah Be'Erevos Davar. Beis Hillel is Be'Erevos Davar. In fact, Beis Hillel was Davar or Erva. But if we either interpret like the Meiri, or if we interpret what I'm suggesting for Beis Hillel, like Rashi, Ala Torah, what I'm suggesting for Beis Hillel, so then the Rajba's question is very much in place. Actually, the Or Zeruah and Hilchos Nida doesn't quote the Yerushalmi, but quotes this argument between the Zakenim, which also appears in the Bavli, in Gemara and Shabbos, but in the Bavli it doesn't connect it at all to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, or Rabbi Akiva. The Or Zeruah, presumably on his own, but unaware of the Yerushalmi, says Rabbi Akiva, Lishitaso. So this is exactly the question. Where does Beis Hillel stand in this whole Rabbi Akiva, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai? Having said that, let me just go on very, very quickly to the next point. The Gemara goes on to say the following. Gemara says, very fascinating Gemara. Gemara says as follows. Over there, Papa Larava. Everybody have that? Lo matza, lo erva, velo davar, mahu. Okay. What does this mean? Let's say there are no proper grounds for the divorce, and he goes ahead and he divorces anyway. Now, if I asked you, is this question dafka according to Beis Hillel? Why should it be dafka according to Beis Hillel? It's a very good question. There are grounds for divorce. There are three manda amrim in the Mishnah. Three views. Right? Tvar erva, kiknika tavshilo, matza isha nahimen. According to each of these three views, it's legitimate to ask the question, what if you go ahead and you divorce improperly against the ground rules? Right? But if you look at Rashi, Rashi says the question is lo matza, lo erva, lo davar, le beis hillel, the girsha. That's point number one in Rashi. Now why Rashi says that, we'll see in a moment. One of the reasons may be, it says lo matza, lo erva, lo davar, so maybe the person who has erva and davar separately is beis hillel. That's true. But I might have said, you know, maybe it includes beis hillel and beis shammai. You know, if it's no erva and no davar, I mean no grounds at all, not beis hillel and not beis shammai, what's the rule? But the question is according to Beis Shammai too. Maybe it is. But Rashi emphasizes Beis Hillel. Partly we can understand, but we're not fully aware. Now, the next line is even more intriguing. Mahu. So what does Mahu mean? I would have thought, what's the question of the Gemara? Is it binding or is it not binding? Does the get chal or not? Rashi says, Mikaifina la'adura olo. Is he obligated to remarry her immediately or not? Why not read the Gemara Kipshuto? But the question is whether or not the divorce is chal. Now here again, I think Rashi has a very good reason. And that's the next line of the Gemara. But the next line of the Gemara isn't necessarily a reason to read this line this way. I'll explain in a minute. What's the next line of the Gemara? The Gemara is poshet to Safek. The Gemara resolves the question by saying, Amalei, Midigali Rachmana Gabi Ones, Mayukhov Shalchu Kayamav, Kayamav Ba'amod Ba'achzer, Kai Hasam Midigali Rachmana. Meaning what? The Gemara says, in the case of onus, right? A rape case. So the Gemara says, he is obligated, if she and her father want, he's obligated to marry her. He's the one who destroyed her reputation. So if they want, they can force him to enter into a marriage. Now, what happens if he divorces her? He's not allowed to divorce her. He has to marry her, not allowed to divorce her. Unless Matzah Be'Erevos Davar, she betrayed him, then he's allowed to divorce her. Otherwise, he's not allowed to divorce her. Let's say he did. So the way that the Gemara understands the Psukim, although you don't have to read it that way, the Psukim, they understand what it means. Lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yama. There's another pasuk, lo yuchal shalcha. That's regarding Motzi Shemra. I don't know if that's what you were referring, but l'shalcha by onos. Means he has to remarry her. The Gemara in Tzmura says, let's say the Anos was a Kohen, and he married her, and he divorced her. What would be the law then? He can't remarry her, because she's a Grusha. Which shows that we're serious about this, meaning, even though he's not allowed to divorce her, and he's obligated to marry her, or say it the other way, he's obligated to marry her, and he's not allowed to divorce her, nonetheless, apparently the divorce is Chal. The only question is whether if he is not a Kohen, is he obligated to remarry her? That's what we say. Kol yamav ba'mod vachzer koi. So the Gemara is saying that's true in the special circumstances of Anus, but in a regular case, you see there's no obligation. Undoubtedly, that's why Rashi explained, even in the question, does he have to remarry her, as opposed to, is the divorce chal? Because Rashi already knew the answer to the Gemara, which is no, he doesn't have to re-even. But the truth is, he could have read the Gemara differently. The question is, if he violates the grounds, is the guy get chal? The answer is, not only is it chal, he doesn't even have to remarry her, because the requirement of remarriage is limited to anusa. So it's strange that Rashi projects Beis Hillel and the more limited question to the forefront. And there are some achronim who make this point, raise this question. Either way, this is the Gemara. Now, again, in the case of right. If we were to say that it wasn't chal at all, then it wouldn't matter that he was a Kohen, because he wouldn't be allowed to divorce her. She wouldn't be a Grusha. You're right. That's exactly what I'm trying to prove from the fact that in the case of Anus, who is a Kohen, that there's no obligation, or in that case, that he can't continue to live with her. I think that's one of the strongest proofs that, according to the Babli, for sure, the get is chal. You're asking, why should that be? Yeah. So, actually, it's a very interesting point. The Gemara in, the Tosis, rather, in Tmura, on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, asked this question, and Shitun Kubetzis asked this question. Maybe Tosis also asks it on Vav Amud Aleph in Tmura. That's a debate how to read that Tosis. But basically, Tosis asks it in the following way. What's it doing in Tmura? Ma inyan get the Tmura? The answer is, it's very relevant. Why? In Tmura, the Gemara discusses the argument between Abaye and Rava. What's the argument of Abaye and Rava? Kol mad amar achmana, lo sabid, yavid mahani or lo mahani? A very important legal and hashkafic halachic question. When the Torah says no, and you go ahead and you violate anyway, is your action effective, valid, or since it's illegal, it's invalid? Does illegality mean, right, that it's not chal, that it's invalid? That's the question. So generally speaking, that's a debate between Abaye and Rava. Kol ma'adam rachmana lo sabid. When the Torah says no, i'avid, if you violate and you go ahead and you do it, mahani, is it effective, or lo mahani? That's a debate between Abaye and Rava. So in part of that discussion, the Gemara quotes, well, if you're not allowed to divorce, but if you do divorce, right, you have to marry again, or you don't have to marry again. So the Bali Tosa say, what are they talking about? They're discussing Yavid Mahani, Lo Mahani, in terms of whether he has to remarry her. There's a far bigger question here. How can the Mandamar, who says Yavid Lo Mahani, who generally says that illegal actions are also invalid, how can he explain, forget about having to remarry her? Why is the divorce chal to begin with? Exactly your question, right? Namely, if it's illegal, it shouldn't work. So this is the question. So the Shidduch Betzis gives his answer. Tosis gives a very fascinating answer there. Tosis expanded upon, but in you know, based on his own creativity. It's an authoritative creativity, because it's probably Tosis. A hekesh between Misa Sabal and Get. Tosis, every Misa Sabal works. The act of Misa Sabal works. There's no nicety, illegal. Right? The husband dies. Say that again. Is that proper Yiddish?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So it sounds a little, you know, too Germanic to me, but okay, I'll let it go. But the point is, Misa Sabal, there are no niceties. It's the fact. So Tosa says, that hekesh applies to Gerushin too. If you're Megarish, it always works. The Nodi Behuda has a very hard time with this. He says, you know, where did he get this hekesh from? He's bothered by this question, by your problem. So let me explain what I think is a... I'm not sure if this is what Tosa means. Maybe he means this. If not, if this isn't what he means, so it's an alternative. what's going on? And here, of course, we have a similar manifestation. Here it's even further. They're saying it's not even Ba'omed Ba'achazer. He doesn't have to remarry her even, even though he illegally divorced her. Okay. Before I answer this and explain what I think is going on here, let me just add one other piece of the puzzle here. I saw I'm sorry from the beginning today, but let's finish this. Beit Shammai. Now look very quickly at the Tosfos here on Tzadi Amud Aleph. Tosfos quotes the beginning of the Yerushalmi that we just read. We also have it on the page, but you also have it here. Tosfos Divrei Maskil Ma'ala Halon. Very, very important Tosfos. Everybody see it? The Yerushalmi Parach. Right? Amai Itzrich Kra Dilo Yuchal Bala Asher Shilcha Lashuv Lekachta. Meaning, the Torah says Machshu Grishasa, meaning if there was an intervening marriage, he cannot remarry his former wife. He can only remarry her if there was no intervening marriage and he's not a Kohen. And if he does go ahead and marry her illegally, that's a violation of an Isra Layukha Lashalcha. Correct? So what's why? Tepukai de Balav Achi Asa Lachzer Sotaso Kivin Sheish Eden. According to Beit Shammai, you're only allowed to get divorced under what condition? Erva's Davar. Now, if she betrayed him, is he allowed to remarry her? No, because that's called Sota. Yeah, that's called Sota, right? And the rule of Sota is Otsor Labal, the Otsor Laboel. She's not allowed to have a relationship with either her husband or the individual, the third party in the marriage, right? She's prohibited to both. So Yerushalmi says, according to Beit Shammai, why did the Torah have to write an additional Isser of Masuk Rishaso? Masuk Rishaso means they were divorced, right? There was an intervening marriage, he's not allowed to marry her. But every time they were divorced, he can't marry her anyway, because it's Masuk Rishaso, it's Sota. It's a very strong question. However, is it such a strong question? What's the answer? So the Yerushalmi says something, and the way Tosfos reads it is, or understands, Mishani Lav Alav Bebeis Lavin. To add another Lav, the Lav of Masuk Rishaso and the Lav of Sota. You get both. Pile on the lavin. Or maybe two machaibim. We discussed that a little bit last year in Chulin. Sometimes two lavin or two machaibim. Okay. However, there's a huge flaw in this question. Isn't there? What's the flaw? Look at the Rajba. Again, the same Rajba, but the beginning.
Does Erla's daughter have to be Sota?
It's a betrayal of her marriage vow. Yeah. It's real Erla's daughter. So the look at the Rishah of the Rajba. Unless you say it doesn't really mean that, which is one day of the Tshuvas Rajba, which we're not going to read, but the Tshuvas Rajba says maybe it means Dvarim Bechuarim, lack of Tzniyos, other things, but the simple reading. The Yerushalmi in the beginning, they shame over the Garishan Mazishto, and then came up the Barba Zavar, Shinem came up for a Zavar, Yerushalmi Rav Shila, Ishkvar Tamrasa, Karya, Kaya Makshi al Beishamai. This is the same one, page 4, but the first paragraph. Right? Lo yuchal bala rishon asher shulcha lo shuv lekachta manan kayamim lo sralav kvar yasur lo. Hela kenan an kayamim litan al belo sase. So then the Rajba says, ulefum maida sikma bigamarin, but according to our Gemara, meaning our Bavli, achad lo matzaba lo erba velo davar vegirsha Maida Avad Avad. What does the Rajba say? We just read in our Gemara. The Gemara wanted to know, if you go and you divorce without grounds, what happens? Where did the Gemara conclude? It works. We see from Anus, but aside from Anus, it always works. And even in Anus it works, just that you have to remarry her. Right? So what's the Rajba asking? Well, what's the Yerushalmi's question? According to what's the question? Masuk Rishaso is superfluous because the only reason you're allowed to divorce is Sota. Once she's Sota, she's Asura anyway. The answer is simple. Let's say he goes ahead and he divorces her without grounds. So he did something prohibited. But is the get Chal? If it's Chal and then she married somebody else in between, there'll be Masuk Rishaso even though there's no Sota. That's the Rajma's question. So he answers, Nira de lo tzarchina luk mevalabe asei, el de mabar begirshate asur lahatsilo, mi lo mechubar, de bi'i lo mishtoikra. The pasuk isn't talking about somebody who violates the grounds for divorce. So the question isn't an objective question, why do you need these two psukim? It's why in this parsha where we're talking about gerushin, you know, according to proper protocol, so if there's already proper protocol, why is there in this parsha also matzu grusha? That's the Rashba's answer. Bit of a dochak answer. Other mefarshim suggest, because they're bothered by this question, that maybe Beis Shammai, according to the Yerushalmi, thinks that amava v'girash lo girash.
So that's what
maybe that's why Rashi only said Beis Hillel. Now, why should it matter whether it's Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai? Both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai both have grounds for divorce. The grounds are a little different. But we're talking in both cases about the same objective question, aren't we? If you violate the grounds of divorce, does it work or does it not work? So what's the difference? If the Gemara says, according to Beis Hillel, it works, why shouldn't it work for Beis Shammai too?
Beis Hillel doesn't necessarily create a sota.
And therefore?
The definition creates a sota. Beis Hillel...
No, we're talking about a case where there's no sota because there wasn't any grounds for divorce.
Okay, but according to Beis Shammai's definition, if you do it properly, it always creates a sota.
Okay, but we're talking about doing it improperly.
But Beis Hillel doesn't necessarily create a sota.
That's true, and therefore?
You can legitimately do it. You can't, according to Beis Shammai, you can't do it.
No. Well, remember, I think you're right, but you're going from the opposite side. Meaning, the case that we're talking about is, what we want to know is, if there were no grounds for divorce, but you divorce anyway, whether or not that divorce will be chal. What we're saying is that, according to the Yerushalmi, according to Beis Shammai, the answer seems to be no, Rajba side. According to the Babli, according to Beis Hillel, the answer seems to be yes. Now, in both cases, you were not allowed to get divorced, but you illegally got divorced, and we want to know whether it's valid. Why should there be a difference? I think the answer is simple. It's what you're saying, but it's in the opposite direction. You'll tell me if this is what you mean. Basically, it goes as follows. It could be that there's a fundamental argument between, what do we say? There are grounds for divorce from Beis Shammai, there are grounds for divorce from Beis Hillel. I think what you're trying to point out is the grounds are totally different. Right? And possibly, they reflect two different perspectives on the nature of the Ishus, the Kiddushin. Meaning, for Beis Shammai, fundamentally, one could say, this is again something I'm taking a perspective in a moment. For Beis Shammai, one could say, you know why the only exit from a marriage is Erva Zavar? Because the marriage bond fundamentally is irrevocable. The only way out is to destroy it. It's no longer a marriage once there's a betrayal. But absent the betrayal, right? Marriage is ironclad kinyan. It's a bris. If that's the case, if you go ahead and you walk away without grounds, maybe it shouldn't even work. But according to Beis Hillel, if we were to take this perspective, that you could walk away from the marriage not only on the basis of Erva's Davar, but on the basis of Davar, and Rashi's emphasis is, oh Erva, oh Davar, in the Gemara, I'm talking about. In other words, this is not according to the perspective that I tried to develop before, that too is an Erva's Davar. Right? I'm saying the other way now. Beis Hillel is like Rabbi Akiva. Like Yerushalmi himself says, Beis Hillel is like Rabbi Akiva. In other words, according to Beis Hillel, it's a kinyan, but it's a kinyan that can easily be undone. You're not supposed to.
That's the only point.
You're not allowed to. But the point is, what I'm saying is the grounds of Beis Shammai are strong, and they reflect that the marriage is essentially broken. For Beis Hillel, the grounds are not that it's broken. It's an excuse. So if you don't use their excuse, and there's no excuse, the gap between Beis Shammai's Erva's Davar and having no grounds is much greater than the gap between Hikdicha Tavshilo and no grounds. In other words, for Beis Shammai, Ishus is fundamentally permanent unless it's objectively been destroyed through an act of betrayal. And therefore, anything less than an act of betrayal, maybe the get is not even chal. according to the Yerushalmi. But for Beis Hillel, okay, he didn't do Achrichat Tavshilo. But if you did Achrichat Tavshilo, what does that mean? In other words, Ishus is a kinyan, can be undone. The proper thing is to only undo it under conditions A and B. But the Dieved, if you did it without those grounds, it's also undone. In other words, the qualitative difference is what's going on. Now, if that's the case, let's go back to Anusa. What's the case of Anusa? This is a suggestion. Anusa is an interesting case. Basically, why is he obligated to marry her? He destroyed her life. Right? In terms of her marketability for marriage, right? And psychologically, you know, he damaged her. Right? He did a terrible thing to her. What does it mean he's obligated to marry her? And you know, out of that is going to come a davarship, a kedusha of marriage. We hope. But is that really what the Torah is focusing on? The Torah is basically saying what he has to do is secure her future. He's jeopardized her future. Right? If she and her father want, they don't want, they don't want. Right? If they're smart, they probably will want. But let's say they're interested. And he is responsible to set aside his own interests and emotions. What's he obligated to do? To secure her future. Is the issue about the irrevocability of the kedusha relationship between them? That's why he's not allowed to divorce her? I mean, the whole marriage got off to a non-kedusha start. Maybe this is huge compensation. I'm not discounting it. Or, the real idea here is what? Securing her future. Not the davar shebekedusha. That's what makes Anusa different. So maybe that's why, I'm speculating, personal speculation. Maybe that's why you don't say Avid Lo Mahani here. Because, what are you going to say? It's not a gerushin? What we'll say is, all we really need to accomplish in Anusa is the securing of her future. Her future needs to be guaranteed. You don't need to say that the get is a cow. But you need to say he has to remain married to her. And if he divorced her, that's not anti-definitional from a marriage divorce point of view, but it is in violation of the original Mekayev to marry her, which was to secure her fiscal and emotional future. So that's why the Avid Mahani and Lo Mahani there is expressed not in terms of the continuation of the previous marriage, but in terms of his continuing obligation to provide for her and to secure her future. Marry her again? But for Beis Shammai, that's a different matter entirely. For Beis Shammai, if only Erev HaZdavar can break a marriage contract,